Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you here with us this morning. If you are worshiping up with us here in person, welcome. The weather is fine in here. We're having a wonderful time. If you're worshiping with us online, we miss you already. So we are glad that you're joining us online, and we appreciate having you with us. But we'd love to see you here in person. This morning we have just two announcements that I'd like to go over with you. One is one thing I do like to continually remind you is, as there's more and more going on at the church, there's more and more announcements. And so, in order to keep the announcement time from going too long, we're just encouraging you on a regular basis to look through your bulletin and see which announcements are applicable to you and which ones you need to either sign up for something or what you need to do. So please look through your bulletins whenever you get a chance. Couple of things that I do want to highlight. One is the Good News Community signups are available. You can go through the Church Center app and sign up that way, or you can also sign up in the Welcome Center. We have a physical sign-up sheet available for you there as well. And Pastor Bruce talked last week about the Good News Community. He's going to talk to you more about it this morning. And at the end, he's going to encourage you to sign up. Sign-ups will be available for the next two, for this week as well as the two following weeks. And don't wait till that time. Do it as soon as you can. But we want to encourage everybody that's interested or wants to know more to please sign up in that. Also coming up, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, is something called The Turn. And I'm going to explain more to you about that in next week, and we'll talk about it. But at this point, what I want you to do is kind of make that Wednesday night open and available for you in the event that you are interested in what that's going to be all about. So, and then on the back side of your bulletin, there's also ways to give. And just a reminder, if you are calling this church your home church, even if you're not a member, the church depends upon your regular and faithful giving in order to be able to continue to keep the doors open week after week, and just encourage you to do that. There's different ways you can give. You can give in the wood boxes in the foyer. There's also ways that you can give online. So that's all the announcements that I have for you. If you would bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into a nice, warm, inviting facility and to be able to be around people who are either in an intimate relationship with you or are pursuing an intimate relationship with you at various stages. And we thank you for just the ability for us to come together as a group to be able to have like-minded interests. And Lord, I pray that as we work our way through this service, that you would help our hearts to be in the right place as we communicate back to you your value and your worth to us in these worship songs. I pray that as Bruce comes up and he opens up the word, that you would allow us to be challenged and allow us to be willing to be challenged in the ways that you want to pick our hearts. And Lord, I do just pray that everything that happens this morning would bring you glory and would bring you honor. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Good morning, Redeemer. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good morning. There you go. Let's stand to our feet and worship together.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, everyone. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. I'll fly away.
Time, I'm going to challenge you just a teeny little bit. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to greet people around you, close to you, but here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to be just a tiny bit serious. And I want you to actually tell the person something that you appreciate about them. Now, I understand we usually do this like, hey, how you doing, the weather, blah, 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 blah. That's what we normally do, and I get it, I understand. But I want you to say, you know what I really appreciate, and don't say something weird, like, you know, I appreciate your shoes, or be sincere. Like, sincere, I appreciate the fact that you sit behind me and you have a wonderful voice. Or I appreciate the fact that you always have such a, be serious, like, take it seriously. And here's the reason why I'm doing this, is that because I, like all of us, we oftentimes come into a place like this, and it's so easy to cut a joke. It's so easy to not be serious. But you know what? The person sitting next to you, standing next to you, probably has had people all week long cutting jokes and not being serious. And for just a moment, could you just give someone a bit of encouragement? Because you never know, they might actually need to hear it. Ready? Go.
Is this thing on? Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for congregating and love, hearing all the conversations and encouraging one another. Now we're going to turn to Scripture so we can be encouraged by the Word. Don?
Where have you searched for happiness? Have you found it? Psalm 1 tells us where to find true happiness, and it also tells us where we won't find it. Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows, watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is God's word. Please remain standing.
Thank you, Don. Let's dive back into worship together.
merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way.
You are.
Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
What a powerful name it is, the name.
Back into bridge two, we're going to sing You Have No Rival. We're going to declare that this morning over any issues, problems, trials, or enemies that have come against us this week. We know that Christ is on the throne, and we know that He is greater than any other. Amen.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank You, Jesus, that You are greater than any other. Thank You, Lord, that You're here with us even now, encouraging us, lifting us up, and, Lord, even correcting us when we're wrong. Your Holy Spirit's here with us, guiding and also cutting deeper than any other sword, deeper than anything could, to get to the core of us, the core of our issues, the core of our sin, that we would be changed, that we would see the issue, we would repent, and that we would be made more like You. Father, I pray that we would be open to that happening this morning. I pray that we would lay all of our burdens at Your feet, and that we would be changed this morning to become more like You. Jesus, we pray all this in Your name. Amen.
Blessed are you who are downhearted,
tired and weary,
and in need of something more.
Blessed are you who have had a tough year or season,
perhaps filled with ups and downs,
sorrow and sadness, misery and mistakes.
You are not alone.
Blessed are you whose dreams have been interrupted,
stomped on, or perhaps just taking too long.
There is a new thing right around the corner.
Blessed are you who don't know what to believe or why you are here today.
But despite that, you keep pushing forward.
Blessed are you who are walking through seasons of prosperity and joy,
celebration and hope.
For you have found something truly worthy of sharing.
You see, sometimes life is just hard.
But blessed are those who seek the Lord in the midst of that darkness.
For there is hope.
Real, tangible hope found in Him.
So today,
May you be reminded that you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
May you know that God has big plans for you.
Plans to prosper you.
And not to harm you.
May you walk in truth and light so that no matter where you go,
you will have a light unto your path.
May you find rest free from anxiety.
And may his love, which is never ending,
and his grace, which is never failing,
follow you wherever you may go.
For he has come
to make all things new.
Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. You came back. Wow. After last week, I wasn't so sure. I saw a few people poke their head in the door and they saw, oh, that guy again, no way. We've had all that we want. Glad that you have the bravery to be here this morning as we continue to talk about the importance of good news community groups, home, Bible studies, small groups. That's what we've been talking about and the importance of those. Let me just first start with, I saw something in last year. There was a runner. It was on Reddit. There was a runner who was running in a marathon. It was the London Marathon. This guy had a dark cap on, and as he's going, you could tell, well, it's getting harder and harder. And so as he begins to double over as he's running, and he's almost come to a stop, and one of the other runners, most likely didn't even know him, grabbed him by one arm and was helping him along. And then no sooner had that happened, another runner came along foregoing the opportunity to finish faster or finish first, and grabbed him by the arm, and they kept going to the finish line. And I thought, you know what? That is a beautiful picture of what the Christian life and the life in a local church and then the life of believers, that's what it's all about. We all, I don't know about you, I have a lot of weaknesses, a lot of frailties. You know, the person I have the most trouble with is the guy that I look in the mirror every morning. I am my biggest problem. And I need not only God, but his people to speak in to my life. Because I don't know about you, I don't have it all together. Darlene, we're not, you can tell everybody here, I definitely don't have it all together, do I? No. Eugene Peterson, the late Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message paraphrase of the Bible, said this: there can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life, apart from an immersion in and an embrace of community. You need that in the large group setting of the community of the church. You need it in medium, moderate settings of a Sunday school or adult Bible fellowship class. But you also need it where you can get up close and personal with 8 to 10 people or so that you can fulfill the purposes that are what we are to pursue in this life as individuals and as a church that we saw last week. Now, let me point out real quickly, you and I can do many of these things in a large group setting, medium group setting, but it's just more intense in a smaller one. And I said last week that the difference in a good news community group involves TLC. Remember? And I forgot the C. I told you time. You know, the time of it, you're not under time constraints when you get together in a home. L, the location is in a home where you can kind of let your hair down. I can't, but most people can. Let your hair down a little bit and be yourself with people. And the C is community, connection, to get into close relationship with one another. There is so much worship we can do in a large group setting, and there's things that we could do in a medium group setting, but it's in that small home group, good news community group, where you have the opportunity not only to learn truth and all the purposes there, but to get to know people and let them get to know you. Now, I'm sorry I forgot that last week. I was trying to be cute with the TLC, Tend to Learn. And this is what happens when preachers get cute, okay? I heard of one guy, a preacher, he was trying to make a point that the soil of your life needs to be grounded in Christ and anything else won't do. And so he used an illustration and he put it on stage and he had a container that was filled with alcohol and he put a worm in it. He had another container that had cigarette smoke and he put a worm in that. He had another container that was filled with chocolate syrup and he put a worm in that. And then he had a container that just had some good earth soil and he put the worm in that. At the end of his message, he said, folks, it's time to learn a very important lesson. And he directed them that the worm had died in the alcohol. The worm had died in the cigarette smoke. The worm had died in the chocolate syrup, but it was alive and well and had good soil. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think this message, what did this illustration teach you? And the oldest lady in the church and the matriarch of the church stood up and she said, Pastor, this was a wonderful illustration because this teaches me that if I drink and smoke and eat a lot of sweets, I'll never have worms. Nope. Nah. Sometimes we get a little cute. No, these good news community groups, by the way, are for everyone. Now, sometimes we think this is just for the young, right? No, it's for the young at heart. But whether you are newlywed or nearly dead, this is for you, okay? All of it. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Last week, we talked about the purposes that God has for your life and mine, that we are to live out. We saw that in Matthew 22 and Matthew 28, that's on your outline. The great commandment and the great commission. In our life, there's five things that you and I need to be about. It's worship. We need to be in the discipleship process, learning God's word, applying it in the company of other people. Fellowship, where we can relate to one another, not simply as friends, but even more than that, to be able to talk about the struggles that we have and the joys that we have. Deep fellowship. Also, to engage in service or ministry. As we minister to one another, using the gifts that God has given you, how He shaped you, to be able to minister to other people, but also that other is to be about the mission of evangelism and missions. And the small groups can help us accomplish these. Matthew 22 told us last week that life, individually and as a church, is about loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the other side of that coin is to love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is the person that's around you. Your neighbor is the someone who's needy. Sometimes your neighbor is the enemy that you most are fearful of. And God says that you don't have to necessarily like them, but you got to choose to love them. It's like with my wife and I. We've been traveling down the marriage, that road of love, and then sometimes that's going good, and sometimes we detour off a little bit on that. I mean, the thing is, we learned a long time ago that we may not like each other, but we got to choose to love one another. We got to get back on the highway of love. And we may not like everyone, but you and I have chosen, we have to choose to love everyone and want the best for them. In that passage, we saw that God wants us to be about the process of worship and service, to serve God and serve other people. And as we looked at the other passage of Matthew 28, it was, as we go, we are to make disciples of all, baptizing them. We are to help them grow in the faith. We are to be about that discipleship, fellowship, and also all the other purposes that are latent within these two passages. We also said that this drifts down into the book of Acts. We saw it last week, and you have it on your outline. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Those same purposes are lived out both in large group settings and in small group settings in the church. And then we began to talk about what that means specifically, about answering the question that's on your outline again today. What has to happen for me to experience true biblical community, to experience true life? My friends, listen to me. You can go to a church, whether it's contemporary or traditional. You can be in a church of thousands or hundreds. and you may not be worshiping God at all. It is until we get beyond just the surface. It is not about just information. It is about transformation. It's about getting up and close and personal with people so that you work through the Word of God together, so that the Word of God gets into your life and you can help it get into others so that life can change, where you are real with one another, that you don't always have it together, and sometimes you're mad at God and sometimes you want nothing to do with God. And you need to have the freedom to say that. And that you're struggling with things in life, you need to have the freedom to say that. But also you need to have the freedom to speak of your joys and all that's going on in life so that others can enjoy that too. We said the first thing we have to do if we're going to do life together is that first, that blanket's already filled in for you. We have to learn and apply Scripture. You have to constantly be hearing the Word of God preached and taught. You need to hear it. You need to read it. Read it every day. Don't go through this life. Don't die and stand before the one who made you having not read His book. Read it every day. This is how you speak to Him, or this is how He speaks to you and you speak back to Him in prayer. We are to be people who hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate upon it, think long and hard as you. It's like worry. What am I going to do with this? And then apply it. Put it into your life. We said that you can follow a lot of things in this world. You can follow popular culture. You can follow past tradition, profane secular reasoning. You can go with your own personal feeling, but we need to follow a perfect, all-knowing God. And how do we know His mind? We know it from Scripture. We said that there are several purposes for Scripture and why we need to get it into our life. That is that the Scripture is connecting us with God individually and corporately as a church. Secondly, the Scripture is for communicating God's will and providing wisdom in the daily decision-making that we have to make every day. Furthermore, Scripture is for coping with the temptations of life that we have within us, around us, and from His Majesty Satan himself. You and I need Scripture in our life. Scripture is powerful. Let me share a few Scriptures with you. All Scriptures, we said last week, is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for everything, every good work. It is the very voice and breath of God. It is not the dictionary. It is the very voice of God. It is not man-oriented. It was not man-made. God used men to produce Scripture, but it is ultimately the very mind of God. In 2 Peter 1, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, his own devising. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along. It was a nautical term. As they were borne along like a sailboat. As they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. It is God's breath. It originates with Him. John 17:17, Jesus in the high priestly prayer. There He prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Today you meet people, they all say, I've got my truth, your truth, all kinds of truth. The only truth that you and I need to be clued into is the objective truth of the Word of God. It is true. It is also permanent. And Matthew 5:18, I truly, I tell you, Jesus said, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will in any way, by any means, disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Even the smallest letter. In the Hebrew, that's the yod. In Greek, it is the iota. And when He says even the least little stroke, you all know the letter I and the letter J. That little bit at the end of that J, that is that stroke or a horn. And He says that word that you and I have got to get into our life and live out, it is true and it's lasting and permanent down to the very little bit of each letter of every word. In Matthew 5:18, that is what Jesus promises us. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive. It's living. It is alive. And it says it is active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. We don't even know what that is. But it divides it into the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and then attitudes of the heart. The Word of God that you and I must get into our life is not just information, but it must be for transformation. It is living. It is penetrating. It is life-changing. I can't change your life. Forrest can't change your life. Other people around you can't change your life. But God can, and it is His breath speaking into our ears and circulating through our lungs is what changes us. In Psalm 119, 105, and then 130 and 31, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth," the psalmist says, "and pant, longing." Longing, as if everything depended on it, and it does. Longing for your commands. The Word of God, it is inerrant. It is infallible. It is complete. It is authoritative. It is sufficient for every need, and it is effective for the power we need for living. And it is determinative of where you will spend eternity. Jesus said in John 8:47, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." We must get the Word of God into our life. That first L, learn it and apply it. Second thing is you and I have to be about inviting people to become disciples of Jesus. That is what the Great Commission is all about. We invite them. You and I are on a search and rescue mission. Did you know that? Every one of us are on a search and rescue mission. There are those who do that in life, in the high seas, in the deep forests, in the mountains, and into the desert wastelands. You and I, we are on a search and find those who are dying mission. We are surrounded by the walking dead. How do you do that? In that group, we're going to learn how to tell three T's to tell them your story. We will even practice it. We're going to be a good news community. You've got to know. You want to tell people what Christ has done for you. Who you were before you came to Christ. How you came to Christ. And what it's been like since you came to Christ. And be honest. It hasn't always been great. Sometimes there's been a lot of valleys. But that in itself alone is not the gospel. We must also be willing and able to tell them not only your story, but tell them the truth. Tell them that God is holy and God is real. That He loves them. That their problem is sin and their answer is Christ. And they must receive Him by faith, turn from their sin, and trust in Him. Gautama Buddha will not do it. Muhammad will not do it. Any other philosophy on this planet will not do it. It's only in Christ. And in that group, we will learn how to share the gospel with one verse. One verse, I always look at all these people doing one verse evangelism. The one verse very few people use is John 3:16. And everybody knows it even at football games. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. But you also have to know something else. When you start that verse, when you say God, people say time out. Don't believe in Him. They'll ask, have you seen Him? Has He audibly spoke to you? How do you even know He exists? You and I have to be able to give an answer. Friend, you will never argue anyone into the kingdom of God, never. But you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And so you may answer those who have objections. They put up barriers that you and I, by God's enablement, remove by having an answer. God so loved the world. I don't think God is real. I don't think God is loving. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know the tragedy I've went through. How dare you say that God is loving? Why? How do you explain the pain and the suffering and the evil in this life? You see, we can talk about that academically, but when people are going through it, my friend, we better have an answer. It may not be sufficient for them, but we better have something. Furthermore, he gave his one and only son. How do you even know there was a Jesus? And how do you know that he rose from the dead? Did you take a selfie with him? Did you have your picture made with him? How do you know? We've got to be able to have an answer for that. Furthermore, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we'll tell them the Bible said so. How do you know the Bible is true? How do you know it's not just a bunch of collection of words by some old dead dudes? How do you know what makes it unique? In our Good News community groups, this is where we will start. To answer those questions and to know how to share the gospel. I was just reading this past week a statistic that's out there that many Christians pray about evangelism. Very few do it. Even those who speak about it the most do it very little. We're going to learn how to do it. And then also you want to tell them about your Good News community group and your church. In every group that we have that forms, we're going to have an empty chair. And we're going to pray that that chair is filled. It may be someone in your family. It may be a friend. It may be somebody at the grocery store. Somebody that we could be praying for that at some point we're going to invite in. And this way an unbeliever can do it the way God designed it. They can sit around and see imperfect Christians. And by the supernatural enablement of God, for their life to change. My friends, it's not the type of music you do. It's not how hip the place is that's going to bring somebody to Christ. It is how real you and I are. God doesn't need ideal people. He needs real people to be able to speak in the lives of others. A third thing, we want to form deeper relationships. Form deeper relationships. You can only do so much in a large and a medium group setting. You and I have been wired for relationships. Now, some people don't want them. It's very easy to pull back and not want that. Very often, most people don't want to get close to people for two reasons. Insecurity and fear. Insecurity, and both of those things may be very legitimate. They're insecure because they're afraid they're going to be rejected. They've already been rejected. Or they're fearful that people will learn about them and talk about them and not accept them. But in a Good News community group, there's going to be acceptance. There will be love. We're going to make sure of it. That's what God's people are supposed to be. Relationships, you and I, folks, have been wired by God for relationships. It's not just we're called to believe. We're called to belong. And the scripture says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And we can do that as we have discussions and suggestions and ideas and work through the Word of God. But also we need to realize that just rubbing shoulders with people, they've went through pain, they've went through different experiences, they've had successes and they've had failures, and so have I. See, God didn't put you and I on this planet to make all the mistakes. Sometimes we need to get with other people, made them, and learn from those. And they can learn from us. Furthermore, we have to be willing to be iron before we can sharpen anybody. If you have secret sin in your life, and many Christians do, just admit it. Be real. That's what the world is waiting for. Because in those groups, when you can open up and say, man, I'm struggling with this. You may not be able to open up to everybody, but you can do to a few somebodies and let them pray for you. Let them help you. Let them help you in the struggle. You can only sharpen those by those who have been sharpened and those who are real. Sometimes in that sin, you need somebody to just kind of lovingly keep you accountable and get in your face. Many of you remember Muhammad Ali, at one time the boxing champion of the world. He was quite the character. On one occasion, you know, he was always flamboyant. One occasion he was on an airplane, and he didn't have his seatbelt on. And the stewardess came to him and said, sir, you have to fasten your seatbelt. His response was, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said, Superman don't need no plane either. Buckle up. Sometimes we think we're Superman. And we need somebody to lovingly, not being just judgmental and mean-spirited, but with the right motivation to speak into our life. And say, you know what? I've been there. Or if I'm not what you're dealing with, I've been something else. And to be able to talk about these things. Fourth and final, or is it just the fourth one, would be life, L-I-F-E. It's E, to engage in service and mission projects together. To keep it before us as a group. The whole church may be doing something, but in the smaller group, we keep talking about that. And amidst our prayer, and amidst our worship, and amidst our study, and in the midst of our fellowship, that we talk about how God can use us in the life of this church. It may be a discussion in one of those good news community groups. What is your spiritual gift, and how has God shaped you? And the discussion, you know, you may be thinking, God can never use me. I'm too old. My friend, God can use you. You know me. Look, if you've got a mirror, when you get home today, you're wondering, can God use me? Get in front of your bathroom mirror and go like this. And if there's something on the mirror, God can use you. If it's not there, you better call a professional. But nonetheless, God can. And we want to. This church engages a number of missions now. Number of missionaries are supported. I'm amazed at how many you support. Furthermore, you did Operation Christmas Child. There are campaigns of kindness. There are nursing homes that need love. There are people who need to be adopted or families that may be adopted. Maybe a missionary needs to be adopted that a group, a home group can do, and you do it together. Now let me give you something I want you to write down. I know our time is short here. Forrest told me that they would put a cane to pull me off stage if I don't stop on time. So I'm going to try to run through these. There's seven commitments that you have to make, though. I want you to write these down the best you can. And the first one is this. If we're going to do life together, then the first thing it takes is you must be a person of humility. You got to be a person of humility. The scripture says that is the great characteristic of Christ. Philippians 2. We're told in that same Philippians 2, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Sometimes we're wondering, what's in it for me? And we want it to be plenty in it for you. But the major question sometimes is not what's in it for you, but what can you bring to the game to help somebody else? I've been amazed in my life that I have come across people that sometimes will speak in a small group or speak in another area, and they will give me the answer I've been looking for and I've been praying for, and there it is. It's not hocus pocus, it's just God working in the community. It takes humility. But the thing that can bother us sometimes, apart from insecurity and fear, can be pride. I don't need that. I don't need anyone. My friend, if that's your attitude, you are on a slippery slope. Oh, don't be prideful. God wired us. We need the support of others. Ecclesiastes 4 says, an enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. A rope that is woven of three strands is hard to break. You know who else saw the need for a small group? Our Messiah, Jesus Christ. He had 12 disciples and an inner circle of three. He called those 12 together to be with him in Matthew 26, 38. In Gethsemane, Jesus, eternal God, said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. If Jesus needed other people, up close and personal, so do you and I. A second is a commitment to courtesy. To courtesy. Anybody can be rude and disrespectful. Anybody can do that. Sometimes there are people that think they're Christian and they think they have the gift of rudeness. That they have been put on this planet to offend people. No, we don't need that. Listen, in humility, be a person of courtesy. Be polite, respectful, considerate. Titus 3:2 says, be peaceful and considerate. That word means to be kind, courteous, fair, forbearing, merciful, long-suffering, sympathetic, understanding, and patient. I stutter because patience is my greatest failing. We have two ladies here from my last church. They know that better than anyone. Amazing. I've got groupies, by the way. And notice there's only two. I mean, that was my popularity is small. But nonetheless, they know all about my impatience. Be peaceful and considerate always, to be gentle toward everyone. Here's the third thing. This one, I'll have to spell it for you. A commitment to advocacy. That is A-D-V-O-C-A-C-Y. I had to look that up because I can't spell. Advocacy. Where does that come from? In John 14, 16. The Holy Spirit is said in some translations to be our advocate, our counselor, our helper, our encourager, our comforter. You and I, if you're going to be an advocate for someone, you are accepting of them. It doesn't mean you necessarily accept their sin, but you accept the person. You accept them. You support them. You value them, not merely for what they can do for you, but because they're made in the image of God. You value them, appreciate them, defend them, but encourage them. Alex, you said it earlier, I think. Wasn't it you that talked about encouragement? Maybe it was you, Forrest. It was you. I knew it was one of you dudes. But anyway, encouragement. Scripture says it. By my way of command, encourage one another in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. In Hebrews 3:13, the writer of the Hebrews says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. People need to be encouraged. There was a writer years ago for Reader's Digest, and he also wrote for the Fort Worth Star Telegram. His name was William Arthur Ward. Ward put it this way, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. And a lot of that goes on in church. Doesn't it? Boy, people think they have the gift of criticism. Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. But you encourage me, I may never forget you. That's all we need. Number four, honesty. Honesty. A little word next to that is openness. You can't be honest unless you're open. That is, you got to be real. You got to be approachable. You got to be an authentic person who's willing to admit their failings, share their feelings on occasion. By the way, when we start these groups, we're not going to ask you to come in and just air your dirty laundry, and you won't be forced to do that. You won't be pressured to do that. But you'll have the opportunity to speak forward in time when you're comfortable. But we need to be honest, open people so that we can speak the truth in love, according to Ephesians 4:15. That means that when we speak the truth in love, somehow we just speak lovingly. But it also means that we are to sometimes praise people when they do well. Very often we don't praise enough. I look back and I wish I could go back. I'm telling my wife, I wish I could go back and praise my kids more. Why didn't I do that? Praise, advise, exhort, admonish. Sometimes you have to warn, reprimand. You have to speak, and it's not always easy. But we are to try to help brothers and sisters who are caught in sin to be able to come out of it. That's what a home small group can do when you get to know each other. Number five, a commitment to confidentiality. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And by the way, that's where our groups are going to go on a mission trip, to Vegas, maybe sometimes to Hawaii. Okay. Some of you have perked up. You're interested. Okay. What happens in Vegas stays there. Because in these groups, people will not only share their joys, but they'll share their doubts, their fears, their hurts, and even their hang-ups. And everybody's got them. And they have to know it's confidential. You won't gossip. You won't put them down. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Number six. a commitment to frequency. That is, to attend as often as you can. When the groups get together and meet, we will first have to determine where they're going to meet and how often they'll be able to meet. But when they do, it isn't that you're going to be, somebody's going to be knocking you over the head if you don't show up. But the fact is, time is an important, valuable commodity. The greatest gift that you can give to somebody is your time. Did you know that? That's the greatest gift that you can give to somebody. Community is not built on convenience. Much today in the church, unfortunately, is built on convenience. It involves conviction, commitment, consistency. And finally, last but not least, a commitment to hilarity. Hilarity. To laughter. To having fun. My friend, listen to me. If it isn't fun, I don't do it. God's people ought to laugh more than anybody else. Not to be buffoons, not to be comedians, but to enjoy life. Let me ask you, does any of this sound good to you? Does it sound like something you think God can use in your life? I hope so. Because if you will, I'm going to encourage you to sign up in the foyer today. Or you can go on the church app and sign up. And in so doing, Pastor Forrest has graciously said that not from the church budget, but from his pocket, that everyone who signs up will get $100. How many of you would like to sign up? Yes, thank you, Forrest. It's so sweet of you. I will never preach again, but nonetheless, we'd love you to sign up.
Is that a problem?
Is that a problem? Here's the last thing, and I close with this. Whether you sign up or you don't, I don't know many of you as well yet. And you may come to church every week, but you may not know God at all. More importantly than signing up is signing on with Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you need to. Because 2,000 years ago, the eternal God-man came out of the ground. And as we said last week, it'd be great. I already know what my tombstone's going to say. Thanks to our financial lady here, I've got something I'm going to put on the tombstone. But you can't do that with Jesus. Because He's risen. And because He's risen, He will change your life. He will help you. And your life will not always be easy. It may be a great struggle, but He will be with you every step of the way if you've never given your life to Christ. Ask Him into your life today. If you need help with that, talk to this man here. I'll be glad to talk with you. Talk with Alex. Talk to one of the elders in this church. By the way, you have some great elders in this church. You need to be proud of them, support them. And also, I've met some of these deacons. Even, are they all like Neil? I mean, boy, okay, well, by the way, before I close, this guy over here, Neil, he's got some of the best chili you can ever eat. So if for nothing else, befriend Neil. He might let you have some chili. If you've never given your life to Christ, do that. Would you bow with me? Lord, thank You for this time in Your Word. Lord, You say that Your Word will never return void. Lord, we pray that we will take it and use it today for the glory of Your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to conclude our service today, as we do just about every week, with something that we term, or that we use the concept of the Lord's Supper. If you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, if you'd just raise your hand, we have some gentlemen in the back who'd be happy to get those for you. It's important for us just to talk a little bit about what this is, if you're not familiar with it. Even as Pastor Bruce has talked about, 2,000 years ago, Christ died and He rose again, and in so doing, He provided a way for humans through all the ages to have a faith in what He did, to have their sins removed. And many of the people in this room sitting around you have entered into that relationship with God through Christ. And we know that it's not because of anything that we did, or we weren't just really good for a year. We didn't say the right things or do the right. There's nothing that we did to get us into a place with a right relationship with God because of our sin. Instead, what we can do is trust in what Christ did for us. And so you can imagine that our association, our mental concept of what Christ did is we're elated about it. Because we can have a relationship with God that we couldn't have had otherwise. And so what the Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember what Christ did for us. It's a time for us to reflect upon what Christ was willing to do so that we could have a relationship with God. So it's a time of remembrance. If you do not have an intimate relationship with God right now, this isn't going to make any sense for you. So just probably better just to let this time pass. But if you are in an intimate relationship with God through Christ, I invite you to join us at the Lord's table this morning. Quoting from the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself." On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He took a loaf, as they did it, a loaf of bread, and He broke it into pieces, and He said, "This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." Someday we'll talk about the relevance and the importance of the covenant. But for their understanding and for ours also, Christ was later that night to allow humans to kill Him. He would shed His blood. And in so doing, He would provide the way for us to have our sins forgiven. And so He said, "Take this cup as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And He concluded, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes."
Will you all stand with me one more time? We're going to sing that last song that we had during our set. We're going to sing it one more time. Sound a little different, but I'm hoping that you guys will sing this from a place of sincerity. Sing it from your heart and to the best of your ability. The Lord appreciates everything that you have to give, right? He knows what you have. It doesn't matter if it sounds good or bad. Give it anyway. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Just want to remind you, if you need after the service, there'll be people up front who'll be happy to talk with you, pray with you, whatever you need to. Also, we are encouraging you to sign up in the foyer for the Good News Communities. Just kind of make your way back to the foyer and look for the ball-headed guy, and he'll be happy to talk to you about how you can sign up for that. And in the meantime, looking forward to seeing you all back here next week. Now all glory to God who is able, according to His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.